are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
This is it, the God Geeks Podcast. It's Faithful Friday, another episode into your waiting ears, the God Geeks Podcast, where Jesus Christ is Lord, and we don't mean Lord Vader.
Nope.
That's right. This is the place, and this is the episode that you've been waiting for. We're going to get into some good stuff in the theological session of the show that we call Jedi Mind Tricks. We're going to take a listener question, and this is a fabulous question. So tune in for that. It will be coming up in just a few seconds here. And then in This Week in Geek, we get into the amazing, wonderful new Rogue One trailer that just came out, and also some exciting new developments in late night television for you to know about and to love. So with that, we go right into it. Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It is Jedi Mind Tricks, the session of the show where we get down deep into theology, theological issues, theological doctrine, theological questions.
Yeah.
And this week, James, we actually have a listener question.
We got a listener question.
A listener question.
Kind of fun.
And so it's actually a great question.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So I'll just have you, we won't use your name. If you send us something, don't worry about us like outing you.
Yeah,
you
we're not going to out you as a geek.
It's going to be completely anonymous for stuff that you would want us to comment and talk about. But this is a great correspondence with this listener. So go ahead and read it for us, and then we'll see what kind of answers we have for his questions.
I'm going to read the question, but this guy's got a great geek pedigree. He started a D&D club back in the 80s when it wasn't cool. It was stuffed in lockers, that kind of thing. I mean, this guy's got geek cred written all over him. So I love this question. So he says, one topic I would like to see covered is what is okay to get into and not okay for a Christian. I've been thinking this through for more than a couple of decades now and have found it an interesting topic. I used to play a large amount of D&D, but stopped later in my life, and part of it was due to critics of those things. But I've been puzzling over what honors Christ and dishonors him. And when are we doing something that causes someone else to stumble? Could some shows and media and games be watched or played by one Christian, but should be avoided by another? All interesting things to think and study about. So, great question.
I think so.
Yeah. I could talk about that for like an hour.
Well, don't talk for an hour, but share with me what your thoughts are on that.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about D&D a little bit in the past, just kind of touched on it. And, you know, growing up in the 80s, I was a younger kid in the 80s, and, you know, there were tracts and things floating around the Christian community saying, stay away from D&D, it leads to the occult.
Good old tracts.
Tracts, yeah.
We haven't talked about tracks on the show, but I've talked about tracks.
Episode.
Yeah, that's another episode, series of episodes. But go ahead. Anyway.
Yeah, so you know, it kind of there was a hysteria in the 80s,
sure,
revolving around D&D, and then that spread out to other role playing games and other fantasy in general.
Yeah,
one of the tracks I was looking at, even the original version said, "Be weary of C.S. Lewis because fantasy is evil." You know, so
well, it wasn't just Let's take his question, which is a great question, and take your introduction to your answer there and say that wasn't the only thing that there was hysteria about in the 80s or probably any other decade. But the church, Christians have freaked out more about music and games like this and all sorts of things.
Levi's jeans for some reason.
Yeah,
too.
in American culture and history, the past 50 years, the Christian, whoever these people are, these evangelical Christian, I don't know if they're TV evangelists or
I don't know where it comes from.
What, you know, and there's probably not one denomination that's been worse about it than others. Probably depending on where you are.
That's probably true.
But I mean, you know, they sold more D&D games and more Marilyn Manson tickets than anyone by coming out against this stuff.
Yeah.
The very thing that they, you know, when you slap a label of a cult or Satanism on something, it's like you might as well, you know, you're going to sell about a million copies. It's the controversy itself that drives the attention towards it. So with the...
Boy, that's kind of the case in politics too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
That's all another subject.
Yeah. We'll get sidetracked there. But anyway, to continue with what you're saying, you know, there was a lot of hysteria about...
Rock and roll, all kinds of things.
And so it's a great question, you know, and let me just say to our faithful listener there, I'm sorry you got stuffed in lockers because you played D&D. That sucks. That really does. And if those jocks that were sticking you in the lockers for playing D&D knew how fun D&D was, they would have been at your house.
Have you ever seen the show Freaks and Geeks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there's the episode where the cool kid ends up playing D&D with the nerdy kids, the geeks.
Right.
I laugh and cry at that episode every time. Yeah. So anyways, that just reminded me of that.
But it's a good question. It's, I think, you know, I kind of cut you off on your answer.
No. I was trying to set you up to the broader question anyways.
Yeah, I think the broader answer is yes, that there are things that that perhaps... a certain person who is a believer in Jesus may do that maybe another person shouldn't go anywhere near.
Yeah.
That's also a follower of Jesus. And a perfect example that I would use for that would be a recovering alcoholic.
Right.
You know, someone who may stumble being around alcohol. As a follower of Christ, they're free in Christ. They can go into that bar if they want. Yeah. But is it a good idea?
No.
You know, and that person knows personally, or deep down inside, you know, the spirit of Christ being living in them, and perhaps even delivering them from alcoholism, or at least the spirit causing that struggle to happen, and them to get clean, and they know that they should stay away from certain situations and certain circumstances that a Christian, you know, who doesn't have the same issue wouldn't necessarily need to steer clear of.
Right.
I think the same could be true for anyone who it could be, you know, someone who's addicted to pornography probably doesn't need to be, you know, and that's really struggling with that. Probably doesn't need to be watching a movie that's got a whole bunch of nudity in it.
Even stay away from Game of Thrones for a little while.
Yeah. Even though it's not like, you know, actual pornography, you know, there's a lot of sexual content in something.
Right.
And if that's going to cause you to stumble, you know, and the same goes true for a brother that's walking alongside of you in your walk. He doesn't need to cause you to say, hey, let's go see this movie, or hey, let's go to a bar and hang out. You know, the thing that would cause him to stumble. Paul talks about this actually he doesn't talk about D&D and watching porn,
didn't really have,
but he
that
does
then.
Talk about eating and drinking, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
In certain contexts, you know, 1 Corinthians 6:12. He says, there's a section there, and this could be a big mistake to like read just one verse and like say that this is exactly what it's saying.
Gotcha.
So I don't mean it that way. So all the theologians out there who are going to freak out that I use this, but he's talking about a very similar type circumstance where you've been washed clean, you've been sanctified, you're washed in the blood of Jesus, and you might say all things are lawful for me.
Right.
But not all things are helpful.
Right.
All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. I will not be enslaved by anything. Mm. So I think that there's your barometer. If there was a barometer for determining what you personally should and should not engage in, whether that's playing D&D or something like that, or watching certain movies, or going to certain places, or listening to certain bands.
Yeah.
If you know that you have a tendency to be enslaved, in sin to that kind of a thing, then you personally should to stay away from it. Here's where we always go wrong, is we say, I'm struggling with this,
so,
and therefore everyone else needs to not exactly. do this. You know, if you play Dungeons and Dragons, you might go join a coven of witches, right? Therefore, no one should ever play Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
You know, I mean, the absurdity of legalism will very quickly creep in. So that's what makes that such a great question, is because there's not a cut and dry answer.
Isn't.
There's not a black and white answer for it. It's a dynamic thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, you can do a lot of things that you really enjoy and love as a Christian, free in Christ. And I would encourage anyone who loves to play D&D, that's a great way to be in community with
it
people
sure
and to meet people and then get to know people. But at the same time, it can become an idol for you.
It can
become a stumbling block for you. So just make sure that you don't become enslaved to it, you know?
Right. I've had to cut myself off from massively multiplayer online role-playing games.
Right. I'm sure you have. I mean, video games is a great example of something that can very quickly swallow up your time and take time away from your family, spend a bunch of money, you know?
Yeah.
I mentioned on This Week in Geek this last week how we, for the first time, went up to the Choctaw Casino. We had a great time. Now, there's people who, they could have heard me say that and said, well, he's saying that gambling's good, they're personally struggling with a gambling problem.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just gave them permission to go do it. Well, they're hearing what they want to hear, you know? So it's a dynamic deal. There's no real easy cut and dry answer to that great question.
Well, we were talking about it today in my freshman class. You know, they've heard that I do God Geeks, and they looked at some of the titles, and they're like, you watch Game of Thrones? They're like, yeah, I'm an adult. I do. You better not watch it. You're not ready. You are not mature enough to consume that at all.
Yeah.
And we're starting you down the road where maybe you can eventually. I mean, we're starting to look at things and analyze worldview and theology, but they're babies at it right now.
Yeah.
You know, so for me too, that's maybe another line that changes, is that maturity level. I mean,
I think so.
You got to be prepared for certain things.
Well, I think there's probably a ton of Christians who've experienced this sort of a thing in their life before. And that is that, perhaps when you became a Christian, or perhaps when your faith really began to be meaningful to you, maybe you were baptized as a baby, but you grew up as a teenager or an adult, and it became really meaningful to you, and the Holy Spirit really did reveal some things to you that you needed to change in your life, you know?
Yeah.
And you probably very quickly began to have a tendency to think that everybody else needed to change those same things.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also, here's what's really beautiful and healthy about that time period. There's really nothing more beautiful than a Christian retreating into God's word, retreating into things that they know are feeding their faith, that keeps them in a really healthy place, and cutting some things out of their life. And I would encourage everyone to really be, you know, don't ignore that, that prompting, that conscience, the spirit working in you as a child of God, sort of warning you and telling you, hey, there's some things you need to back away from and get away from. And there's some other things that you need to replace it with and embrace.
Right.
I would beg everybody to not take that list of personal things and make it a list for everybody else, because that's the very formula for just that's just as satanic as being in a cult.
Totally.
Is forming your own legalistic religion and then calling it Christianity.
Oh yeah.
It's an ongoing struggle. But my point being, I would bet that most Christians have had a time period in their life where they really felt like they needed to stop watching the news, get off the internet, you mm-hmm. know, and get into God's word and get away from this stuff. Because I personally go through seasons where I just feel like, you know, I'm watching too much of something, or I'm engaging in too much of something that originally wasn't unhealthy, but it's become unhealthy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I need to hear God speak to me in that way, in my own personal life, and not project it on everybody else.
Right. Right. Cool.
All right.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah. Well, so it's a great,
question.
It's a great question.
We can keep talking about that.
So if it's a good answer, it's because it's a good question.
Yeah, exactly.
So guys, I mean, keep those questions, keep those thoughts coming, keep your feedback coming. We love that. And we love you guys. And that makes it time for This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
This Week in Geek, your favorite part of the show.
Pretty geeky week.
Yeah, man, really geeky week. Last Thursday, the new Rogue One trailer debuted during the Olympics. And man, I've been geeking out with the Olympics. I don't know about you. So I haven't been watching much else other than the Olympics, but the new Rogue One trailer that debuted was pretty awesome, I think.
So we
got some geeky stuff to talk about.
Well, it seemed like there was a little bit more character reveals maybe some dialogue.
Yeah.
Mendelsohn was showed.
Yeah.
They showed his face. Of course, the reveal at the end with Vader.
Darth Vader.
Which we knew would... When I was watching the Rogue One trailer, I was like, they're going to show Vader. They're going to show Vader.
Did you notice what that shot of Vader looked like, though, too?
Well, it was from him from the back.
From the back in a floating Death Station, right?
Okay.
Much like in Force Awakens, in that trailer, they had Kylo Ren framed the exact same way.
Oh, okay.
With a lot of red, too. So they're already mirroring from Force Awakens in this one. So I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
All right.
Maybe it's a little nerdy of me to even notice that, but hey, that's what this is all about, right?
You're supposed to be nerdy and excited about it,
So there's also a version of the trailer that came out, the international one, which throws in a couple more lines. So in that one, we find out Jen Erso, I think that's the name of the girl.
Uh-huh.
Her father is on the Death Star, or helped design the Death Star, something.
Oh.
So it's her father that's involved and why she is getting pulled in to be involved.
Okay.
So that was kind of a little bit
is
of a reveal.
Is her father involved in the rebellion?
We don't know. No, okay. It was kind of ambiguous with that. Okay. He could be undercover, or he could just be working for them and maybe trying to flip sides, maybe, which some of the rumors
say.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
All right.
How do you feel about the tone? I'm loving the tone so far.
With a trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, they're selling it as a pretty good action flick, I think. But I tell you, tone wise, I'm excited. I mean, I'm totally excited about it. I mean, it's a bonus Darth Vader story that we weren't ever going to get if they didn't do this. It'll probably be the last one, I guess.
I would think maybe
that we'll have anything on Vader. I mean, I wouldn't think there. You know, they kind of. I don't know.
He could maybe show up in the Han Solo stories, but I doubt that.
It seemed like it'd be a stretch to try to fit it into that kind of a story. I figure that's going to be a lot of bounty hunter and smuggling, you know, kind of stuff. Although obviously they're going to have a backstory with Chewbacca in there, which is worth seeing all by itself.
But,
as far as Vader goes, I mean, that's what excites me about the movie. Obviously, what I was really intrigued by, and I don't know the character's name yet. But he's obviously a Jedi master who's blind. And he's kind of got a kung fu deal, and he says
Church of the Force is what it's called, I think.
Okay, and he says something very Christian.
yeah.
I mean, you talk about that.
Yeah. So he says something along the lines of the force wills what it wills, whatever is going to happen. Yeah. The force.
Like he has no fear of death or anything like that, because whatever's going to happen is up to the force, which is, it's essentially the Apostle Paul, who'd been blinded on the road to Damascus, talking about Jesus in the same way. I mean, it really struck me as a really, like a uber spiritual stroke there.
Yeah. Afterwards, stormtroopers dead all over the place.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Jesus sends out his disciples two by two. He says, take nothing with you except your staff. Here's this guy.
He's got a staff.
I mean, you know, Moses had a staff, you know, Aaron had a staff.
Yeah.
It's a sweet sort of, they've gone there with the sort of, the first three, one, two, and three, with sort of the Jedi Council and all that.
Yeah.
But it didn't strike me as an overtly sort of spiritual or religious force.
Political.
Yeah, it was like a political Jedi Council.
Yeah.
And obviously with Yoda in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, what you get from Yoda is a very spiritual,
up with a force reformation? In this film, maybe?
Fascinating thought. I mean, not you laugh.
I know, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. Because the
fascinating
force,
thought.
The Jedi's became very political, led to their downfall.
And could that be, could they be laying the groundwork with that sort of more spiritual side for episode 8 and episode 9?
Yeah.
Because, Luke being the lone Jedi in the future.
He's founding that.
He's going to have to be the reformation guy of the Force, like the reforming of the Jedi Council, the Jedi Order. So
Luke Luther, they kind of L-U-L-U.
There you go.
Hey.
I mean, dude, we Lutheran geeks will tie it into the Reformation.
Yeah, we will.
And especially with 2017 coming, baby, we're gonna have, and episode 8 coming out the same year. We've got to. Boy, that's geeky. But yeah, I was excited about the trailer. I mean, I watched it a couple of times. I have not gone frame by frame analysis yet.
I've only done it a couple times.
Forrest Whitaker has kind of a...
Did you call him Forrest Whitaker? I like that. That works.
What's his name?
Forrest.
Forrest Whitaker.
I thought you said Force.
Forrest Whitaker. There we go. I like it. So maybe I did say that. Maybe it was a Jedi slip of the tongue. He kind of has an English accent or something. There's something...
Yeah.
Something that's a little off on him.
We'll see.
Not sure what kind of character he is.
No.
There's a pretty awesome dude that I don't know, he's got like a big
chain
bazooka gun thing.
Yeah, something like
I fight for the rebellion now. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff and it looks like a lot of fun. Looks like it's gonna be an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
I love the TIE fighter that kind of just floats up.
Oh, yeah,
that's
cool.
Sweet.
That was really
cool.
He's shooting bazookas at an AT-AT. I mean, that's kind of fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do that.
So, well, maybe one day.
Maybe
well,
someday.
It won't be someday soon. It'll be someday far away.
Far,
far away.
Yeah,
long time ago.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, so was there any other, I mean, there's one, there, the only other like little tidbit of geek stuff I have this week.
Yeah.
Other than the Rogue One trailer, which is the main thing. There's a new show on AMC.
Okay.
And I think it's taken the place of what used to be Comic Book Man.
Okay.
Which was a Kevin Smith creation.
Yeah, which I watched a few times. I kind of liked it.
I used to watch it all the time. I got kind of attached to those guys. I don't know if they're still going to run that show or not. I mean...
those were some geeks.
Yeah, that's why I like watching it. I just like how their interplay together. But Kevin Smith and a guy named Greg Grunberg, who's an actor, have a show called Geeking Out.
Oh, cool.
And it's on AMC, and it just, the first one aired this past Sunday night. And basically what they've done is they've been listening to the God Geeks, and they've said, we could make a TV show, and we have actual access to. And the first episode was really cool, really good. They had J.J. Abrams on there.
Oh, man, we should get him.
We should totally get
let's
him.
Let's try.
Right. But, I mean, they made a good point about, they made the statement, which I mean, I'm probably... late to this party, but they referred to him as the next generation Steven Spielberg. And I was like, that is spot on.
Super 8.
And this guy, Greg, that is a co-host with Kevin Smith, that's an actor. He's been in Heroes. He was in
Episode 7. He does a lot of cameos and all those things.
He grew up with J.J. Abrams.
That's why he's in all this stuff.
They've known each other since they were kids. But what he said about him and knowing him for a long time was that he believes that we have not yet seen J.J. Abrams' best work. That a lot of these things that he's done, like Star Trek and Star Wars, that were huge, great, you know, movies and have his fingerprints all over them, they're not his 100% his creation. And so he believes that J.J. Abrams' best sort of sci-fi great stuff is still to come.
Oh, that's
and they talked
cool.
about Westworld. On the show.
Yeah.
And one of the things that J.J. Abrams said that I agree with just from seeing the trailers is he says it's shot beautifully. Like the film, the scenes and everything. He was like, and J.J. Abrams was like, you won't be disappointed. And it probably won't be what you think it's going to be. So I cannot wait for that show.
I'm really looking forward to that.
So
that reminds me of another thing I'm looking forward to that was off my radar, but is back on now.
Okay.
Blade Runner 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And who's handling this?
Ridley Scott? Whoever did the original.
Ridley Scott.
Yeah. So he's involved, I think, again.
Okay.
And they're casting right now. I think Jared Leto just came on, which, you know. Could be good, maybe. But that's on my radar now. I'm gonna have to look into it more. But
okay,
I love Blade Runner.
I can't imagine where they're gonna go with that.
I don't know either. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I dig it.
Geeky stuff.
Yeah. Really geeky week. Good geeky week. And thanks for tuning in to the God Geeks
we'll
podcast.
See you next week.
We love you guys. Hit us up on the website, and we'll see you soon.
Geeks.